Welcome to All Things Simple Rev, where we give you all the ins and outs and what's news about Simple Rev. On our last episode, we had a great visit with Cheryl and Dave Balthrop of SimpleLifeReboot.com. And today, we are diving into the awesomeness that was the first ever Simple Rev live event on October 3rd and 4th, 2014 in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Dan, you were hanging out with me, right?
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, Joel, usually this is the part of the show where you say, so what have you been up to? And I'm like, oh, whatever, and what have you been up to? Well, now we can talk about something that we have been up to together.
Yes, yeah, but we should, you know what we should do? Right. I think we should start people off. Everybody's thinking, okay, so when is everybody getting there and what are you doing? Should we take people behind the scenes a little bit and give them a taste of the run-up to the action too?
I think that'd be pretty cool because, you know, when you're putting on an event or, heck, even when you're going to an event, there's backstory to it, you know? And so a million little things were happening all at once. So some of them that you took care of were transparent to me, so I'm anxious to hear it too.
Well, can we skip the sleep deprivation part and yeah, spending way too much time working on PowerPoint slides? Can I skip that?
Sounds good. Sounds okay. Well, let's good stuff.
Let's start people off on September 30th. This is 3 days out before we officially kicked it off. And here in the Twin Cities, I know you were still in San Antonio, but I was a busy beaver. Yeah. Even before I hopped in my car and I drove to the printing plant where we got our name badges and our printed agendas, I actually had a stop at a CVS, a Minute Clinic, and have something checked out on my thigh because I had these red spots that were growing. And it turns out I had shingles.
Well, you had nothing else going on. Why not throw something else into the mix?
For those who aren't familiar, shingles are basically chicken pox, only they're localized. I learned a lot about shingles. They only impact one nerve area. So my lower right back and my upper right thigh had it. Still looking down right here, there's still some red spots left. The good news, though, is as long as nobody rubbed up against my thigh, fortunately, nobody did. I wasn't going to spread it to anybody.
So many
I wasn't
people were
about
tempted, though. Yeah.
I thought I'd just put on my name badge, by the way, I have shingles. Just thought you should know. But I knew that it wasn't transmitted in any kind of way that I was going to be doing it. Lots of hugging, though, but nobody got any kind of,
hey,
haven't heard of any.
you know what else is interesting? Can you fill us in a little bit about the background of like the name badges and things like that and some of the goals with that stuff?
Yeah. I probably should be done talking about shingles, huh? The name badges, major hat tip to my friends, Erica Backberg and Eric Nigg. They were our environmental and sustainability consultants and volunteers for the event. And they worked with me, basically educating me, to figure out what vendors, local vendors, I could use in order to get soy-based ink used on the name badges and paper stock that was certified sustainable from all kinds of fancy certifying agencies. And Franklin Press Incorporated was pretty much the only show in town that would do a limited print run. And Erica and Eric were great in terms of advising me which vendors we should get our stuff from. That was a huge, huge help.
Yeah, big time. And then that was, we're going to talk a little bit about later on, the impact that they had on the waste that is naturally produced from an event. So we'll hit on that later on too. Okay.
Oh, we got to link their tweet in the show notes with Erica flexing, holding up that tiny. Yeah. We'll do that. All right. Another reason for people to check out the show notes.
Cool.
I'll sprint through Tuesday. I had a technical run through. The only thing at St. Thomas that I found was our ASAP font displayed like 8-bit Nintendo text on the projector. So we had to change our font for our PowerPoint presentation before then. But I dropped off some beverages for our vendor, Hen House Eatery. If you're ever in downtown Minneapolis and you need something catered, these guys are good. The food is good and they're super flexible. They delivered beverages for us on Friday and Saturday just as part of the delivery. All we needed to do was just buy them ahead of time and drop them off at their site. So that was Tuesday.
Wow. Man, you got a lot going on.
Yeah. Well, Wednesday, it was a little bit more stationary, last-minute PowerPoint slides, and you and I talking about some stuff. And also, not just you and I, hopefully everybody who's been listening to us for a while and they've listened to past episodes, they know that this Simple Rev thing is not you and me. It's a whole lot of people doing a whole lot of things with social media and website stuff and copywriting and all of our volunteers. So there is a flurry of activity going on. All good stuff, though, and nothing that was too stressful. You weren't, before you hopped on a plane on Thursday morning to head out here, you weren't stressed about anything, were you?
No. No. I knew that, A, you had it well in hand, and B, that you had the small army of volunteers that were, working things behind the scenes to make it awesome. And
yeah,
we'll get into that in a little bit, but man, they did an awesome job.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hit some of the action here on Tuesday or Thursday, October 2nd. So we're a day out. And before you hopped on the plane and got here, I was already awake practicing my PowerPoint stuff. And then you and Vanessa got to the airport. It was lovely to see you two. Oh, man, the big hugs started right away, didn't they?
Right off the bat, right at the curb. Of course, thankfully, there was a curb there. So you didn't have to bend over too far to give me a hug.
Steps and curbs.
That's
right. I'm a big fan of them. Yeah. They help with the hugging process.
Well, we had, absolutely seamless flights there. It was great. We had to leave San Antonio bright and early, and we went through St. Louis and then into Minneapolis. And we were kind of hoping for a little bit better weather, but it was great. I mean, and we just had an absolute blast, and it was so good to see you pulling up to the curb there, and we knew that from that point on, it was like, okay, game on, let's go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, our weather over the weekend was unseasonably cool. We had some rain, which was slightly horizontal with some wind from time to time, but everybody seemed to be okay with it.
Right, and I saw a snowflake at one point.
Yes, we did have snowflakes on Friday night. That was fun. October 3rd, and we're having snowflakes. By the way, people, if you're coming to Minnesota in October, this doesn't normally happen. Odds are much better that it's going to be about mid-60s and sunny than it is about 35 with some flurries in the air. Don't want to scare people away.
No, it was great.
Well, yeah, we got you at the airport and then came back to my house. We had some lunch pretty quick. We didn't have a lot of time before we needed to drive on into downtown Minneapolis and have our rehearsal. You and I and Vanessa cheering us on and giving us feedback sitting in the classroom. What do you remember about that?
Well, you know, I was very impressed with the campus, and not having been there before when we were going through the planning process of this, you said, oh man, this is a great little campus. It's right in the heart of downtown. And, I just kind of took that at face value, and I saw some of the pictures that we had up on the website and all, but, I was struck with how easy it was to just park and walk in. And then Marty, who was your point of contact there that you'd been dealing with for a while, I met her for the first time. And she just went out of her way to make things go smoothly for the event, I thought.
It was great. She was a super, super awesome partner.
Yeah. Just walking through the buildings, the campus it was just really nicely laid out. And it, like most campuses, it could be kind of a maze if you don't know where you're going. And not knowing where I was going that first day for practice, I was like, geez, I hope everybody finds it okay. But later on, she had signs up everywhere. So no matter, it didn't matter if you parachuted in, you were going to see a sign that said Simple Rev this way. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, those class act, St. Thomas and Marty King all the way. Anyone wants to have an event in downtown Minneapolis, highly recommend the University of St. Thomas campus for that. Then what we do? Oh, yeah. We went to Hell's Kitchen. We had some dinner there.
We did.
You had you had an impressive prime rib.
Prime rib, yeah. And yeah. I was chancing it there. Because
why?
Through the summer, I got bit by a tick that carries this thing called alpha gal. And that's what it does is it's a... it causes a change in your blood that makes you allergic to red meat. And so I had not really eaten red meat. And just recently, I've been trying little bits and pieces, but carrying EpiPen and all that. So I figure, okay, well, I haven't had any reaction to all these little bits and pieces. Let me try this 16-ounce prime rib. You
know? Right. Not have a bite. Like, right. Let me have almost a pound of red meat. Don't worry, Joel. It won't be at least 6 hours until something happens to me if it's going to happen. Yeah. Oh, it's okay, Dan. It's not like we've got a major event happening the next day.
Oh, it's all good, man. I figure, well, if anything major happens, I can at least use this as an excuse.
That's right. So. Thanks for not making me go solo for a couple of days. No appreciate
worries,
that.
No worries.
Well, after dinner, you and I and Vanessa, we started meeting up with our fellow participants. There was a Dunn Brothers Coffee. It's a local coffee chain here in the Twin Cities, just outside of downtown Minneapolis. And we pulled up, we had name badges and lanyards and name badge holders for everybody. And we were in the back in a slightly raised area, almost like a little stage, where about 25 of us, I think almost half of our crew, came at various points in the 2 hours when we were hosting people. And do you remember who was first?
Saul was waiting for us, wasn't he?
That's right. Saul, we saw Saul of Hearts right when we walked in. He was already there, camped out with his laptop.
Yeah, he had just gotten in into town because he took a five-day trek coming from Portland. And for those who have been following along, Saul briefed us on the all the virtues of the sharing economy. And true to form, he camped for free all the way from Portland in his 5 days to get to Minneapolis. And he was the first one to meet us there. So it was great to finally meet him in person. I hadn't met him before.
Yeah. Oh, we saw so many people. Each time somebody came up, oh, we're actually here face-to-face in person. This is cool.
Right.
Big hugs. We'll tell him about Hugger in a little bit, Dan.
Sounds good. You know, here's one thing I really liked about the coffee shop. A couple of things, really. First of all, the folks that were working there were really pleasant, and they knew their stuff. And so when folks came in, they'd get a drink, and then they'd come up to the private area where we were having the get-together. And it was in a back room, which was actually one big large room, but half of this room was elevated like a story above the other half of the room. And so everybody who walked in the room, all of us who were up on that top platform, looked down. We saw everybody who came in. They immediately saw that everybody was up there, had name badges. They knew that they were in the right place. And then either me or one of the other volunteers or somebody met them as they came up the stairs and made sure their badge was squared away, and you were kind of in 100% mingle mode right there. And we all just kind of gathered around and had a great time and met people that we'd only up to that point met online or, you know, through social media or a few folks that you knew that were local. It was just a great way to kind of break the ice and get to know one another.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a little bit warm, a little bit noisy up there.
Yeah.
Lots of folks chatting, having a good time.
Yeah. It was a good time. I really enjoyed that. That seems so long ago already in my mind. You know,
not to me.
The event doesn't seem that long ago, but the coffee night, you know, the meetup seems further back. I don't know why. The mind works strangely that way.
Maybe when we drove Joshua Becker to the place that he was staying, maybe his story took too long. No, he's an awesome storyteller. It was fun taking Joshua back and hearing some of his previous event experiences.
Yes. He gave us some interesting backstory on some of his speaking engagements.
Well, you fell asleep pretty quick when we got back to my place. I, on the other hand, was busy itching my thigh and thinking about the next day. But at least I think we both had plenty in the tank as we started on Friday morning.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
you and Vanessa, you woke up. Thanks, by the way, for taking the air mattress in the basement. It would have been great to have you have a bed, but with our two boys, ages 4 and 1 year old, upstairs, if we were to swap roles and Grant were to, you probably don't want a random 4-year-old. Well, not random, but my 4-year-old son climbing into bed with you in the middle of the night.
Man, that was the next thing I was going to say was that you and Melinda were great hosts, and I crashed on that air. That air, it was just like a, I mean, it's a bed. It really is. It's as comfortable as a bed. And sometimes you're on air mattresses and one person moves and it like, it's like being in a bouncy castle, you know, one person bounces and the other person gets booted. And, but it wasn't like that at all. I mean, it was just so comfortable. So I might have to hit you up on what brand that was, but we just crashed.
Good.
It was great.
Good. Well, Friday morning, we woke up early. I think we got to St. Thomas around a little bit before 6:30. I think Marty King at St. Thomas met us at 6:30. We set up the registration area, went upstairs and did some more technical testing. And then around 7:30, people started to flow in. Our registration didn't start until 8.
Yeah, there was actually somebody who was there. Somebody was waiting for us there, weren't they?
Oh, that guy wasn't with us. Oh,
okay.
He was with some other thing.
Yeah, that's right. But there was a couple folks that were waiting there. We thought maybe that they were for us. But yeah, so we got the table all set up. Marty got coffee early. And it wasn't long after folks started to roll in.
And at 8:30, we started up the show.
We sure did.
Oh, man. That was just so fun. Looking at you, a head nod, looking out at the 55 people in our intimate classroom and chattering along and then just getting it cranked up. And bouncing back and forth, we switch slides and you talk about how we're just normal folks like everybody else in that room, which is true. We are. We don't feel like we're special or that we have any unique thing that only we can bring to the table. Just knowing that everybody there was viewed as peers, as equals. Nobody was so big time that they needed a special VIP status. That was a really cool part of it for me, at least.
Me too. And you know, I know I told you this privately, but one of the things that really impressed me about the attendees of the event was I've done throughout my career. I did a lot of work with groups and teams, and I've always had an interest in group dynamics and how things go. And you know, it's you just wait for people to go through those natural stages of forming, storming, norming, and performing when they become when a group comes together. And we've all been part of groups or as a member of the audience where it's like, well, I'm not going to raise my hand until somebody else does. And you're just kind of waiting for things to happen. And that's why people have icebreakers, you know, and that's why we even planned a little something to get people engaged. But what impressed me was nobody needed to be engaged. We didn't have to hit a start button. We didn't have to wind people up. People were there. They were there to be active participants and to share. Even people who don't normally do that, there was just so much energy there. It was amazing. I was very impressed with that. I have to admit that you kind of wonder how things are going to go, and sometimes you're wondering for a while. It's like, okay, well, when are things going to rev up, so to speak? But
nicely done.
Yeah, we didn't have to wait for that at all. It was rev right from
it was go. Lots of simple revelry, simple revelations. We've seen a lot of people use the rev part in very clever ways. I'm tempted to go to the dictionary and see what words start with REV and then figure out what kind of clever things I can use a simple rev. I'll do that some other time. Well, I credit obviously just the kind of people who were there, and we'll get to the workshops and the rev talks in a little bit and lunch and the dinner that we had at Buca on Friday evening. But the kinds of people who were there, the folks who really appreciated authenticity and were leading intentional lives. It's just, you can't squeeze juice out of a lemon that is totally tapped. We had just a bursting lemon waiting and people were willing to squeeze it themselves. Horrible analogy, but my point is that everybody there was ready to go. And there were a lot of introverts. I know, Dan, you're an introvert. Me, not so much. But even those folks came out of their shell really quickly. I attribute it just to the quality of the character of the people there, but I think Hugger had something to do with it. You want to explain that to people?
Well, you know, one of the first slides we talked about, it's just the obligatory slide in today's day and age with social media, where you have to say, you know, this is our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, this is the hashtag, blah, blah, blah. And what we really came up with, I think it was you, we were talking about a real, no kidding, old-fashioned social network. And we called it Hugger, H-U-G-G-R, where anytime somebody came up to the stage, we had to give them a hug. We had to hug them on and hug them off, which was kind of cool.
Yep.
And it just took off. You don't know how that's going to go either, you know? Yeah.
Well, we demonstrated pretty well, like, how does Hugger work? Well, yeah. you find somebody else and you hug. That's how Hugger works. Well, after we were done with our first 10 minutes and we invited our first person up in front of everybody else, it was our pal, Joshua Becker, to give some welcoming words to our community. What do you remember from that part?
Well, you know, as we were going back, taking Joshua to where he was staying the night before, he's like, okay, is there any other, I have a few things I want to say, but is there any last minute things that you want me to hit, you know? And we just said, no, Joshua, do what you do. I mean, that's why you're leading this off. And what really got me was he pulled out this article, and I think he even mentioned it on his on one of his blog posts this week. And this article was all about how there's this new thing called this really catching on called simplicity. And they think they tried it in the 60s and so forth. And, but they think really this is the time when it's going to catch on. It's hot. It's the next best thing. Look for everything to be kind of focused around simplicity. And we're all like, yeah, man, that's awesome. That's awesome. We are part of something big. And that message ended up being, or that note was taken from a Time Magazine article. Correct me if I'm wrong. Time Magazine article in like 1991.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. So here we were, you know, 14, 15 years later, again, talking about the same thing. And we're just knowing in our hearts that we're all there together as proof that it's still around, and not only is it still around, it's still important, and it's going to become even more important if we have anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a great message and a great invitation. He's so good at, and I remember a blog post that he wrote a couple years ago that he says, you get a lot farther by inviting people into something good than warning them about something bad. Right. And every time I talk or speak, I keep that in mind too, is, yeah, I can just tell people the dire consequences if you don't do this and you don't do that, or if you don't have this kind of mindset. But instead, why don't you just create an alternative, a positive alternative for them, and invite them into it? Show them who else is doing this in a very positive way. That's always been really powerful for me, and I think you did that great to lead us off.
So who was next?
Oh, well, our first workshop, our first ever Simple Rev workshop was Kyle and Ariel Ashley. It was called Vital Relationships, A Simple Approach to Meaningful Connections. And those two, they talk about themselves as a co-facilitative team. They totally are. They're husband and wife, so they've got a great dynamic. But in terms of just facilitating, I knew that their experience and the topic would be a great first workshop, because they were talking about people getting vulnerable and open and candid. And I thought, I was already feeling like the folks who were there were pretty open, but the exercises that they went through in terms of their vital practice, which is an acronym, vulnerability, identity, trust, authorship, and liberation. To me, that just set the tone perfectly and really got people. I mean, they were having people do exercises every 5 minutes. Now talk to this person, find your high five buddy, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I didn't know what to expect going into that. Of course, you've had some more interaction with them than I had, and I have to admit, I'm not a big okay, take a break and do this exercise type of guy. I'm just not. And I think Joshua said the same thing. And but the exercise they had us go through was fantastic, and it forced me to get to know somebody else who I'd never met before, another one of the attendees, and it was great. It was very well executed. You could tell that they do this for a living, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, they really hit it out of the park with their. It set the stage for everybody else that followed, and it was one of those cool briefings where events where everybody kind of built on the previous one and referred back to. All the speakers were mutually supportive, which I wish we could say was totally by design. But a lot of it was just the caliber of people that signed up to speak.
Well, you didn't know what was going to happen in the workshops. I didn't really know what was going to happen either. Yeah. I knew that we had great people, but it's not like we super screened them and we said, okay, we want bullet points of every single minute of what you're planning on doing and what kind of exercises. All we told our workshop leaders was, hey, this has got to be action-oriented because Simple Rev is about people taking action, getting their hands, their brains, or their hearts dirty. Right. It's got to be practical. Like what you teach should be immediately applicable to somebody who's actually motivated to do it. It's got to be interactive, meaning you can't just stand up there for an hour and talk at people. It's not, public speaking. This is a workshop, which is very interactive in nature. And then we had it was intimate just by design. We had a relatively small event, which was great. That was really the only guidelines that we said is keep it action-oriented, practical, interactive, and intimate, and you can do whatever else you want.
Right. And then Dave and Cheryl Belthrop were up next. And what they talked about was they are kind of recent converts to a life of simplicity. And they're both professionals, and they have four grown kids. And they decided to make this huge switch and totally change their life. They sold their home. They moved in with Cheryl's mom. And, I mean, really... I mean, they dove in the simplicity pool head first. And part of what goes along with that is the possible stigma. And we talked about that quite a bit on with them on the last episode. So I don't have to break it down so much. But knowing that there is this, there potentially can be this stigma in your community when you decide to make these switches, that's something that people face at different levels, depending on where they're where they are in their life when they start to choose simplicity. Well, wow, did they like elicit all of this, these stories from all of us, attendees and volunteers and us. You know, it was just really an amazing wave of, wow, yeah, me too, as they were talking about something. Yeah, me too, and this is how it affected me. It was a great workshop.
Yeah, they alternated between just super engaged with everybody and just taking, well, what about you? What has been your experience with this? Tell me your story. And hilarious. I think a lot of our workshops were, we said that, we're there to learn and we're there to connect, but I cried at one point during their workshop. I was laughing so hard and having so much fun in addition to learning at the same time. It was a really good one.
And then we did our first lunch, and you mentioned Hen House Eatery already, but we all took a walk over had some lunch over at, what was it called?
The IDS Center, Crystal Court, by the way, mental note, if you're planning an event in the future, this is a note to me. If you're having lunch catered at a place that you're not paying for, make sure that that's okay with the people who own the building first. I worked in downtown Minneapolis for over a decade, which is where we had the event. And I've been to the IDS Center Crystal Court a number of times. It's a public space. But what I didn't know is that it's a privately owned space that's made available to the public. Technicality, which was made abundantly clear to me on Friday afternoon when the operations manager for the building and three rather burly security guards came to ask who was the organizer of the person or who was responsible for having all this food distributed on their premise while all of their food vendors in the Crystal Court area were none too pleased. They fortunately gave us a fair bit of slack, but that was a little bit dicey for a couple minutes. I thought we were all going to get kicked out.
Oh, no kidding. That ain't simple. Heck, man, that ain't simple.
No. Lesson learned. There's obviously a lot of lessons learned, but that's a big one that
I
learned.
That's right. Yeah, no biggie. But hey, we all got over it really quickly when we came back to the first ever Rev Talk, which... we had to brief right away. That's a blatant ripoff of TED Talks. So, only a little bit shorter. And Jeff Sandquist gave our first ever Rev Talk, and I loved it. You know, both of us kind of follow that primal paleo style, and he was right up our alley.
Yeah. He incorporated, in terms of incorporating the overall theme, the intersection of community and simple living, he did that really well, talking about proteins, fats, carbs, how you fuel yourself. And he had all these great acronyms. You know, my favorite one was, you remember WWGGE?
No.
What would great grandma eat?
That's, yes. Yeah. And he showed the picture of his grandmother, too, great grandmother, too.
He did. I'm going to remember when you're thinking about food and you're assessing, should I eat this? What's going to happen inside my body as it tries to process it? You can think, what would great grandma eat?
Yeah, good stuff.
That was a great one. And then we went into our, it's a surprise.
Yeah.
Remember that we were planning on that ahead of time? We were thinking, we need to have a number of surprises. Like any good event, it's not just totally boilerplate. You need to mix things up and you need to do things to surprise people. Right. What I think this was talk about this one. This is your idea.
Well, you know, along the lines of what would great grandma do, what would Oprah do at an event? Right?
She'd give people cars.
How Oprah would have you reach down below your chair and pull out a voucher for a new car or something, right? Yeah. So we thought we would do the same thing, only a little different. So what we did was, I think you had like 60 different sayings, right? Simplicity sayings, some of which come directly from our the Simple Rev Declaration.
And yeah, we just 12 of them.
Yeah, and we just took a few minutes, and we had people reach down. They pulled out, it was actually from under their table, they pulled out their saying. Everybody had a different one. Some of them were quotes from people who were speaking there. And again, others were from the Declaration. And we just had people partner up and talk about what each one of those meant to them, even if they'd never seen it before, digest it and talk about what it meant to them. And it was just really a way to for people to see that simple living and the definitions for it mean something different to everybody. And that certainly showed in the cross-section of speakers we had and the different topics that we had and the people that attended, which is what I thought made it really, really cool, that it does mean something different to each and every one of us. And we all got a chance to share that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we went into Saul of Hearts and his workshop, how to use the share economy to reduce consumption, build community, and earn extra cash. Saul is a very light-spoken guy. He treads softly in terms of his environmental impact and just how he kind of goes about the world. But from a purely informational perspective, I know that people were blown away at the extent of the share economy. It's also known as collaborative consumption or peer-to-peer marketplaces. Just beyond car sharing, like with ZipRide, or staying in someone's house, Airbnb, as you're traveling, all these different categories and subcategories, and his ability to field questions from people. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, what about my dog as I go on vacation, and where can my dog stay? Well, there's a service for that called dogvacay.com that can deal with all that. And the fact that he gave out his books too, he has a new book out about the share economy, and he brought 30 of them and just handed them out just out of his own pocket around the room. That was indicative of the sharing mentality that we all had and that he had with his workshop.
Yeah, that was a great workshop. Matter of fact, I tweeted about that this morning or last night, I think it was, that I had no idea. I knew, I guess, just the surface level of that movement. But what I put out was he really opened my eyes to an entirely new level of commerce, you know. And some of this is, you know, everything old is new again. It's this is how people who grew up on the farm, you know, did it 100 years. Great grandma would recognize a lot of this. Maybe not Zipcar, but maybe they had zip coaches.
They had horse sharing.
Yeah, horse sharing or something.
Instead of car sharing.
Yeah. So some of this is, we're just so conditioned to buy your own, go big, get your own, get a new one next year, get the new model. Yeah. And this kind of goes against that. So it was a great presentation. And then we took a break and came back to Dr. Steve Taubman, who's a magician, a hypnotist, you name it.
He has lots of ishins, right? What did you say? Yeah. He has lots of ins.
Yeah, he's,
magician,
he's just, he's chiropractor, not a musician or a beautician, physician. But he's a lot of shins. He's a multi-shin guy.
Yes. So,
but, yeah, and so he kind of led us through an exercise for people who, I mean, he hit it from a lot of angles, but I've always tried to meditate, and candidly, I end up falling asleep. And but he led us through lots of different practical exercises and things that experiences that he's had with it. And I mean, he's a very deep thinking guy.
Well, setting the stage for people who weren't there. And that's really like, that's what Steve, he's a performer. He's been doing public performance for over 20 years. And he just, so even beforehand, was asking me, hey, Joel, can I get this for the environment? Can we turn the lights low? And he really wanted to set the stage and create a mood for everybody to experience some of his meditative techniques. We started and ended the workshop by closing our eyes and doing deep breaths. I love that part of it. There are a lot of things that were memorable. He's a very, very quotable guy too. Yeah. We'll share some of that in later episodes or in other places on the web.
And I liked his backstory too, of when he, like you, kind of, you know, went into a period of a personal renaissance and as a practicing chiropractor, and he, and then he went to, was it Belize?
I think it was Guatemala.
Somewhere
in Central. Yeah.
Yeah, and then he ended up meeting another chiropractor, another guy named Steve, and you know, it was just crazy. I mean, it was a cool backstory, and I love backstory. So
yeah. Well, that was our last workshop of the day, and then we had a special message. We had videos from people on four different continents. There were a lot of folks who couldn't join us that wanted to be there, so we asked them to pre-record a message. The first one that we played was from Kira Conland in Ireland, and she had a great two-minute spiel outside and beautiful nature and a funny quip about how part of simple living is knocking off early on a Friday, going to have a Guinness with your friends. And it was Friday afternoon, and we were about to wrap it up, and people, I don't know if people had a Guinness later on, but I thought that was pretty appropriate and a really cool message.
It was really cool. And as she was talking, I mean, she's, I've never met her before. I've watched some of the videos on YouTube, and she's just a great communicator. And as she was shooting this video, her hair was kind of blowing, and she was outside, and it was just like that outside in Minneapolis at the time. The wind was getting a little windy, and we were about to conclude things for the day and then go out to an optional group dinner that we had.
Yeah, about half of us went to a place called Buca di Beppo, an Italian-style restaurant. It's also Italian-style. I meant family-style Italian restaurant. And we thought, because we were getting that sense of almost like having this be a family reunion type of feel, it would be kind of cool to have our group dinner, totally optional, at a family style gathering. And about 25 of us made our way to Buca and hung out for almost 3 hours. I thought they were going to kick us out way earlier than they did, but they were pretty lenient.
They were. And, you know, we were packed in there pretty tight. I think the reservation was for like 25, but we ended up having like 28. And so they put in extra chairs. Am I right on that? Or close?
Yeah, there were a couple of extras that I didn't anticipate, but that was wonderful. There was so much. Yeah, it was relatively noisy just because a lot of people were having fun and talking, but there was so much good energy. You and I, we weren't sitting next to each other. No. You were at one table. I was at one table. What did your table talk about?
Oh, my gosh. We talked about all sorts of things, but I had Cheryl and Dave were there, and Melissa was there. Jeez, we had a whole table full of folks, and it just kind of ran the gamut of, well, how did you get started? How did you get started with this? And it was just, it kind of went through the gamut of things all the way through dinner. And then I know we'll talk after dinner, we had more activities. But what did you got? I mean, Vanessa, my wife, was sitting over at your table, wasn't
she?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was right to my left. And as a lefty, I was sticking my chicken wing, well, not too close to her. I'm a big guy. I need a lot of space when I eat too. She was pretty good about that. But across the table, Robin Taft, and then I had Kim Elston sitting directly across from me, and to my right was Dr. Steve Taubman. We were talking about religion and the meaning of life type of stuff. And we got into that kind of conversation about 5 minutes into it. And as we were wrapping up dinner, I was just joking, and I said to the folks who were sitting around me, I said, I wish I could have been recording just a little snippet of this conversation so that I could give people the actual taste of what it's like to have a conversation with all these amazing people yeah. who are so focused on simple living, who truly feel like they belong together, that they're part of a community. They're willing to be generous and vulnerable and candid, because these kinds of topics and the depth and the quality that we are talking about, you just don't get to talk about that kind of stuff in your day to day with, or with a lot of other folks that you know. That was just awesome. And nobody felt like they were going to be judged if they said something controversial. And in fact, you know, Robin was being intentionally provocative, talking about this and that, which I love. Like, I love the fact that we were all comfortable enough to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great conversation. The only thing I wish is, like, I had access to talk to everybody, you know, kind of a mingle thing, because although the conversation was great at our table, you still kind of feel like you're missing out on other great conversations. I wish we could have, like, played the music and then the music stops and you sit down, you know, kind of musical chairs for a little while and pick up in a new conversation. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's like you said, you know, when you have access to so many people, they're right there around you. You just want to take every advantage of that that you can.
Yep.
You know,
I would start.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, go for it.
Well, no, I was going to say we are 40 minutes into this.
Oh my goodness.
There's no way we're going to finish this up in one episode.
No, we better do a second. And yeah. It's a good thing, because as we're finishing up Friday night, I actually started losing my voice on Friday night. We went yes. We capped the night off at a coffee shop, just a local coffee shop in downtown. And some people hung out till about 9:30 and continued the conversation. But maybe we should continue our conversation. Our part two? What do you think? Part two?
Let's do a part two. Yeah, because there's just way too much to cover and we don't want to slide it at all.
Yeah.
So we'll give everybody a chance to go have some coffee and come back on the next episode.
Whoa, sounds great. So that's it for episode 11 of All Things Simple Rev, Dan?
Yeah, I guess so. That's it for episode 11 of All Things Simple Rev.
Groovy. Well, if people want the show notes, and we have talked about lots of great stuff, from tweets to workshop details to a whole bunch of other stuff, they can get all the links to the things that we're talking about at simplerev.com/011. If you would like to reach us, you can send an email to joel@simplerev.com or dan@simplerev.com. Maybe email's not your thing. Maybe you dig Twitter. Well, we are @simple_REV. Oh, and while you're there, while you're on Twitter, check out the awesome activity happening with the Simple Rev hashtag. Even if you're listening to this 2 weeks from now, 2 years from now, there has been a ton of amazing, inspiring activity. And some of that activity is around our pictures that we took. Andrew Yelkin was our volunteer photographer, and he had some awesome, awesome pictures. We put up 105 of them on Flickr, enough to really get you engaged, but not so many that it takes a ton to go through. Find our pictures on Flickr from Simple Rev 2014 at simplerev.com/2014pictures.
Man, they got some really good shots of speakers, attendees, and action shots, and I really enjoy just kind of going through all those. Those look awesome. All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us. And make sure you tune in next time. We'll get the rest of the event out there and talk about the awesomeness that we had. And until then, enjoy your own Simple Rev.